All right, praise the Lord. All right, so you guys know that today's topic is the book of Jonah. So what do you think of when you hear the name Jonah?
Whales.
Do you ponder God's amazing grace and man's tendency to harden his heart? Or is this what comes to your mind?
Jonah was a prophet. But he really never got it.
Sad but true.
If you've been watching, you can spot it.
A doodly doo.
He did not get the point.
That's what comes to a lot of people's mind. And I think because the book of Jonah is such a special book for stories, that it's used for a kid's story. But I'm hoping by the time we're done with this, we'll see that it's more than a kid's story. It's the Word of God. A little background on the book of Jonah. The author is unknown, although by tradition, it's ascribed to Jonah. He was from the tribe of Zebulun. He is the only prophet out of all the prophets that has a book written about him and God. So this book is about him and his ways that we'll get into in a little bit. Many scholars, and understand when I say scholars, I mean Christian scholars, people who've been to seminary, doubt the history of the book of Job. Liberal scholars are out there right now saying that it isn't true. Why? Because of the miraculous things that happen. The Bible is full of miraculous things. The whale, the ocean's going crazy until he jumps off. But the best way to overcome that is Matthew 12 and Luke 11. Jesus himself talks about Jonah. And if you get any historian who is not biased, they all know that Jesus was a real figure. There's no denying that. In secular, historians know that too, and even Christian historians. So there's so much proof for Jesus. That in itself tells you that. The background for it is during Jonah's ministry, and that was between 800 to 750 BC, and that's the only number I'm going to give you because you know I like to get into too much detail. But Jeroboam II was king of the northern territories of Israel, and he was able to capitalize on the Assyrians' defeat against Damascus. Damascus being the closest enemy to Israel. It weakened Assyria, and Jeroboam II was able to restore Israel's traditional borders, ending almost about 100 years of fighting, back and forth fighting, between Israel and Damascus. Regardless of that, Assyria still remained a threat in the north. And a few years later, Jonah prophesied the restoration of Jeroboam II's accomplished in 2 Kings 14. But soon after Israel's triumph, she became prideful in her armies and continued to worship idols, the one that Jeroboam I began. Not giving glory to God, they did what they wanted to do. And they believed through the prophet Amos that the day of the Lord was at hand, that said when God's darkness would engulf the other nations, leaving Israel to rule, which is unusual because they were worshiping idols at that time. It was in this time that the Lord sent Amos and Hosea to tell Israel, and I quote, he said he would spare them no longer, but would send them into exile beyond Damascus to Assyria. That's in Amos and Hosea. And it was during this time that the Lord sent Jonah to Nineveh. So during their time of victory, a bit of prosperity and idol worship, they were gloating in themselves. This is when Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach. Understanding a little bit about the background is important because you might be able to get a mindset why Jonah acted the way he did. So we're going to go to Jonah 1, chapter 1. Am I too loud? Am I good? Am I too loud? I sound pretty loud to myself. All right. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's lay down the first thing. There's no way you can escape from God. Like the psalmist says, if I make my bed in Sheol, in hell, in death, you are there. So Jonah's trying to run from God. In these couple of chapters, you see that God calls Jonah. The Lord uses the same language to describe what the wicked people were doing in Nineveh that he did in Genesis 18:20 for Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins reached me, is what he's saying. So it's the same language. It's known that Nineveh, or the Assyrians, were a very vicious people. There's a lot of artwork right now that they dug up that shows them chopping heads off, skinning people, burning them, and so on and so forth. So they did a lot of evil things in that. So Jonah tries to run from God. But here's the question here. Why would the Lord use Jonah? Why Jonah out of all the prophets he had at that time? And one of the reasons is that Jonah was a racist. Now, I don't like the word racist. I use the word biased. Because we're only one race. We have different skin colors and all that stuff, but we all come from Adam and Eve. That's like a modern term. But we're usually biased to one people or the other, like people have cliques and all that stuff. And he believed that only his people, Israelites, deserve God's love, blessings, and mercy. The typical Jew back then hoped that God would judge the enemies of Israel, which is normal. You know, they were coming against them, even though, remember, they were worshiping idols. And that's a key, too. Did he forget that the king and the nation worshiped idols? Did Jonah forget that? He was aware of all these things, but yet he still wanted his enemies destroyed. On the other hand, God wanted to show his mercy towards not only Israel, but the Gentiles. Even God's servants like us can be disobedient and uncaring towards others. And I'm pretty sure if we had the time, I can call every one of you up here to give your own testimony and when you weren't acting like a Christian. That's part of our fallen nature. That's part of why God comes into us and he says, walk with me. Jesus says, follow me, because we need to be transformed into his image. I lost track. What else is new? Israel was supposed to represent God's goodness to the nation of Israel. Okay, it's spoken about in the prophet Isaiah. But they were guilty, just like a lot of Christians today, of departing from God and not fulfilling the Great Commission. America, or people in America, still call this a Christian nation, but yet most Christians don't even know the Ten Commandments or don't even know what it is to follow Christ. Let's take away the Ten Commandments, because sometimes that's difficult. But don't have a relationship with God. You take so many polls and people say, I believe in the Lord. But yet if you ask him, who is Jesus to you? They'll give you so many different answers. And it's never the same one. So Jonah was heading in that direction. So that raises the question for us. What about you? What about me? Are you like Jonah right now? Are you heading your heart and despising the word of the Lord? I made a typo here. Are you hardening your heart and despising the word of the Lord? That's what it is. And going back to the serious matter, are you? Has he asked you to do something that you don't want to do? Forgive someone you don't want to forgive? Go somewhere? Be something that you just said, no, I will not? Have you hardened your heart like Jonah has? Either willingly or unwillingly, knowing or not knowing, that there's someone in your life or something, you heard God's voice, and you're running the other way. How did I get to this message? Why? Because I was like Jonah, or am overcoming Jonah. And here's the reason. I think most of you know that my desire is to go out and evangelize and missions. I've said before, I don't like being up here. I don't like preaching. I don't want to do it, right? But the Lord, over 12 years ago, told me that I'm going to be in ministry. I'm going to be a preacher. And when he showed me this, he showed me that I was despising the word of the Lord. Now, how do we despise the word of the Lord? By not listening to him. He may have told us things maybe a year or 2 years ago, and we're still despising it by not listening. to the word of the Lord. We tend to be in our comfort zone. I was. I said, I don't want to be up here, no matter what the reason is. And I'm not saying the Lord gave you that problem with the eye to force me to get up here. But that's one of the things that the Lord may allow. Because I don't. And I said that. I don't want to do it. I'm walking the other way. I'll do everything else I can but be up here. I was despising the call of God. So I said, Lord, forgive me. Do unto me according to your will. And we can say that, right, as believers, but do we always mean it and follow it and do it? How much time can we waste doing other things that the Lord didn't call us to do? And everyone else has to answer that question between you and the Lord. And I don't think this message is only for me. But if it is, praise the Lord, learn from my mistake, and don't do it. You know what I mean? But that's a question we ask to ourselves between God. Are we like Jonah right now, either knowing or unknowing, leaving God? All right, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw their cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, this is funny to me, what do you mean, sleeper? In other words, what are you doing sleeping at a time like this? Could you picture what's going on right now? So he says that. He says, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Now that's an unusual thing. How can Jonah be so down? Understand, there's three times it says this. He goes down, 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 down. And he's sleeping. Well, a lot of people have speculated that he became depressed, and that's probably one of their issues, because he knew he was not doing what the Lord wanted. He knew he was running away from God, the only true God. So he became depressed as he was going away, and he started falling asleep, becoming deeply, deeply depressed. Another thing about this, you see these other people crying out to their gods. And God's not done with Jonah. The Lord could do anything for his glory. He's trying to run away, but God's going to say, do what you want. I'm going to try to show you something about yourself if you would just open your heart. When Jonah runs from God, his sins causes other people to suffer. Remember, these people who didn't believe in the Lord had to throw out their cargo. They're panicking. They're praying out to their gods. When we do something wrong, when we run from the Lord, like the Bible says, when you know the thing you're supposed to do and you don't do it, it becomes a sin to you. He knew that. Missing the mark of God. It's not only us who suffer. Even if you were to go to a desert island on your own to say, I don't want anyone to suffer because of my sin and I want to be by myself. Well, that's not the case, because the people you leave behind suffer. They miss you. They worry about you. They wonder why you leave. You cause so many things in their lives to question, why didn't this person stay with me and love me? That's one thing. It's interesting that in a divorce, when people get divorced, the minimum people that are injured in that is 12 people. And you would think, how's that possible? Well, you don't only injure the people who get divorced. You injure the families that go on, and the minimum is 12. So Jonah's disobedience caused other people to lose something. But praise God that he doesn't leave people like that. He comes in and cleans up our messes, so to speak. And it goes on to say in verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and a lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, or rather I respect the Lord, which is not what he's doing right now, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So here you see these pagans casting lots, and it falls on Jonah, and they're asking him a question. What have you done? Who are you? Please tell us. Why is this happening on us? What's going on? And it's going to give the explanation in the next verse that we read. Because in verse 10 we read, then the men... Did I read all this already? So then he said to them, I am a Hebrew. And he said that, and what did the people say in verse 10? Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So here you have a man who is... Let me look at something because I think I'm forgetting to put something up here. He ran away from the Lord. And he continues to run. And the people are saying, why? Because he told them he ran away from God. Here are some people who are pagans. This is Jonah is running away from the true God. And they're asking him, why have you done this? Why are you running from your God? Why are these things happening to us? The thing I forgot to put up here is when he's running, I think it'd be nice to see where he's running from to get a better understanding of how far his journey was. Okay. So there is Assyria, Nineveh, there's Israel and Joppa. He was going as far as he could to Tarshish, which is over 2,000 miles. There's that great fish over there. There's the king of Assyria. But you see the journey that he wants to do, right? It's over 2,000 miles, and it would be in Spain somewhere. That's the area that he's trying to travel to go as far as way he can from God. Again, knowing that you can't leave God. But in this, think about what's happening here. As he's sinking lower and lower, running from God, what happens when you run from God? You forget him. He's leaving his country to go to another pagan country. And what happens when you leave your country and try to run from God? You're not going to cry out to God. You're not going to try to say, Lord, I know I'm doing wrong, but praise your holy name, I'll worship you somewhere else. No. You let that sin give birth. And then when it gives full birth, it brings death, spiritual death. And that's what was happening to Job when he tried to run. So that's what the people were asking him. What have you done? And they say in verse 11, then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And they were asking, okay, you know, we're idol worshippers. What do we need to do? Do we need to sacrifice right now to your God? Do we need to make an oath? What do we need to do? Slap ourselves? Tell us what to do to stop this. They were trying to look to Job, what did you do? How do we make amends to your God? As Jonah continues his leave. And Jonah in verse 12, he says, and he said to the men, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. So here's an interesting thing right here. Was Jonah finally realizing he was doing so wrong? That he just said, you know what? I am bad. I will just go into the sea and the Lord will do with me what he wants. No. Instead of crying out to the Lord, he said, throw me over. He didn't ask his repentance. He didn't say, forgive me, God, for running. It seems more likely that he said, I don't care. I'm depressed anyway. Throw me into the water and I'll just drown. Better me to die, and you'll see he says that later on, than to go to my enemies. And here you got these pagans right here crying out, trying to do everything they can to save the boat and do this and asking Jonah, what should we do? Throw you over to sea. Now, will they throw him over to sea? And if we all know what happens next, you know they're not. It says in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. So here are these ungodly people trying to save a man of God. In our time, we would say a Christian. This is an unusual thing right here. God's trying to show Jonah that, what? You don't have to be a Christian to care. And many times as Christians, we could fall into the trap of Jonah where we believe that it is only us, this part of God's body, and we get sort of comfortable of just fellowshipping and forgetting the rest of the world. We don't want to have nothing to do with them. We see them as pagans and who knows what. And forget to reach out to them the way God does. With love, with compassion. And it happens. And it's no one's fault. That's why the Lord continues to speak to us through His Spirit. To take us out of our comfort zone. To tell us, hey, what are you doing? Are you growing? And then we think to ourselves, Lord, have I grown this past year? Have I done anything that you would want me to do or not want me to do? But here's the example that God's trying to show Jonah. We can forget that because we do become comfortable in our Christendom, our Christianese, whatever you want to call it, and forget the rest of the world because we think they will taint us, right? But Paul says, when he writes, he says, I do not tell you to shun or go away, and I'm paraphrasing this, to be away from the world and all the bads. No, he's telling us that anyone who says he's a brother and sister in Christ and acts like the world and will not repent, don't have anything to do with them because they're obviously not following the Lord. But not the world, because you can't escape them. Otherwise, you'd have to be dead, is what he says, out of this world. But we feel sometimes that we're so weak, we can't be around other people. They may contaminate us. Why? We'd have to ask the question, Lord, why do I feel this way? Is not your spirit in me? Have you not given me strength to overcome? Do you not walk with me? And I'm led by you? And then we have to question, why do I feel this way? Why does this poor soul suffer? Why am I not going to extend the same grace that you extended to me? Because the only difference between us and the unsaved is grace. That's it. So no man can boast. We accepted him and we walk. And God's trying to show Jonah this. He's showing it through these pagans because he forgot. So it goes on in verse 14. After that he says, Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. So, this is another interesting thing. Here it is. Non-believers, pagans, crying out to God for mercy and forgiveness, saying, Lord, please, we really don't want to throw this guy out, but you are his God and you've done this for whatever reason. We don't know. And each individual person, no matter what God they had, there was a price to pay when they did something. So they didn't want to offend. They were like, are we going to throw this guy out? We can't do this. But they cried out to God, please don't hold whatever he did on us. Innocent blood. We're just doing what you probably want us to do, throw him over. We don't know why, but he's saying that's it. We don't know what he did. They cried out to God, and Jonah still did not. He said, throw me over. God, again, is trying to show him, look at these people here. Look at how they're crying out to me. And you claim my name, and you still will not repent and turn around? Because we don't know if Jonah would have said, I'm sorry, Lord. I will go to Nineveh. Guys, let's turn around. Throw me over and it'll stop. But see, the Lord knew. The Lord knew what it would take to get Jonah to the place where he would at least listen and turn around. So again, like I said, you don't have to be a Christian to show care. We're saved by grace. We're called, obviously, to a higher standard. And we are called to be like God. He doesn't give up on people. Neither should we. And maybe there's someone in your life who you've given up on because they just will not listen and you've walked away. And maybe the Lord has told you to walk away, but we continue to pray for that person. We continue to be open for what the Lord may have us do in that person's life. Because everything we are, everything we own is the Lord's. That's even what we do and don't do. Of course, if it's according to the Word and His will, we're gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. We walk in Christ. So there may be someone in your life. I know there's people in my life that I'd like to just get rid of. But no, I am called to a higher standard. I'm called to show Christ's love, even if it costs me. We bear each other's burdens, not only here as believers, but we bear the burden of other people. We bear the burden of their sins like Christ bared. We take His yoke upon us so we could rest in Him and say, okay, Lord, what do we do now? How do we follow you? We'll pick up your cross. Well, I don't want to pick up my cross. Can I pick it up like this? And that's the way the Lord does things. He stretches us. Why does He stretch us? Why, when we become comfortable, He wants to move us into more? Because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do all things. We may not believe that, but He wants to show us through to the world that we can do more than we thought possible. And I think to myself in my life, I'm a gypsy, you guys know this, fifth grade education. Everything the Lord promised me came to pass. Going to college, restoring my life, putting me up here, giving me His word. Even though at times I'm like, no, word, Lord, I can't do this. I can't preach your word. Even if I make mistakes, God sometimes does that because He wants me to become comfortable. You need to make a mistake so you can stop caring about the people and caring about my word. But I don't want to sometimes because I have an issue with perfectionism. Pastor Tim will be the first one to tell you that there's no such thing. Maybe I do need to go to Monday nights. We strive for excellence. The only one who is perfect is God. Everything that He makes is less than perfect because He cannot make something at His level. Otherwise, it would be God. So we have to realize that in our lives. And when we realize that, it sort of softens our heart to be able to go and say, Lord, you know what? I can be excellent in You. Knowing, of course, that I was very good before the fall, but right now You'll take me to places I never thought possible. Dare to dream what God could do in your life. Dare to lose all the fears and everything that you think of is holding your back. Because all the promises of God that are in the Bible, I'm pointing to my brother over there who did a great message on that. Again, it was great. Why don't we claim them? You see what I'm saying? Because we have to move forward. And maybe our heart is hard in a way we don't even know. But we are supposed to walk and express God's goodness and grace in every aspect of our lives. Whether we're suffering low or we're eating meals with the kings, you know, we're supposed to be like Paul. I learned to be content in all things because he had Christ. And that's all he needed. So, we shouldn't give up on anyone in our lives who the Lord may have put in our path. We go back to Him and say, okay, Lord, let me think about this again. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't give up on this person. But always remember with the word. So, verse 15. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now look at what happens. Jonah here did not want to give God his glory and to be used by God for his enemies. But God, being all-knowing and being wonderful in so many ways we can't express, said, I'll choose you, Jonah, because I know, in essence, you need some fixing. And I'm going to use you in your disobedience to bring these people to repentance and worship me and take vows and know that I am the only God, the only God, and their God will never be able to do what I will do. And that little seed, who knows where it spread? Who knows what it did to these men who Jonah thought was unworthy even to go preach to any of them? He thought they were good enough to ride on their boat, pay the money, go further away from God all the way to Tarshish, going lower and lower into his sin and forgetting God. God received his glory from these pagans, from these people who didn't follow the Lord. They exceedingly feared. Other meaning, respected God. In other words, man, there is no other God that can possibly do this. And they knew because they cried out to their gods earlier. So Jonah's disobedience brought repentance to these guys, brought the knowledge of the true one living God to them, even though. And yes, the Lord could do that with us too. God's like, we can do it the easy way or the hard way. You could look like a fool or not. I'll use you regardless. And he does more things that is unknown to us that he can get his glory because he is sovereign. He'll do what he wants to do and praise the Lord for that. But look at these people right here. He used them. I'd rather be used when God tells me to be used instead of not wanting to and I see the Lord doing something and I missed out on that blessing. I missed out on the opportunity to present God's grace to someone who needed it. And he could have did it in so many other ways. But that's what Jonah missed out. So here again, Jonah's pagan idol-worshipping shipmates were better than him in this instance. And that can happen to us sometimes in our Christian walk. We don't really think at times that we may look at someone else and say that I'm better than this person. You know what I mean? But that legalism, that religion can creep in at times if we don't check ourselves. If we don't examine ourselves and continue to say like David, Lord, look at me. Is there any unpleasing way in me? Am I following you, Jesus? Or have I left to the side here and there? Am I not doing what you want me to? It could happen to any of us. Because in this life, we're supposed to continue to walk and grow with Jesus. That's why Jesus says, follow me. He's not, follow me one or two days, follow me 20 years and that's enough. Follow me to the day you die. That is when you are perfected, once you go to him. And that's very important because, again, we can really forget that and get comfortable in our Christian walk. And that's dangerous. The Jews became comfortable in believing that they were the chosen people and all they had to do is these certain things. But what happened? They fell away from God because they forgot the heart of the law. And it can happen to any one of us. So in that again is the question for all of us. The Lord Jesus asks, is the Lord Jesus asking you to do something you don't want to do? To go somewhere you don't want to go. To be what you may not want to be. To grow. To take you out of your comfort zone. To restore relationships, whatever the case may be. Only you and God know that. Are you in danger of being swallowed by a whale? I wasn't. I didn't even know it until the Lord showed me this. I was despising his word. And that's not something I wanted to do. I let fear and so many other things crowd my mind, not wanting to be where God wants me to be, not wanting to fulfill his calling in my life in this thing. If I'm not faithful in here, will he allow me to do things I may want to do? Well, no, because I'm not faithful. And that's the key. We are faithful to Christ. We have to ask ourselves that question in this chapter. Are we running from the Lord, knowing or unknowing? Have we put aside what the Lord has planted in our hearts because it's hard and we didn't know it? So those are the things that we look at right now in this chapter, and it is a bit early. Usually I run long, but this is the first time I'm actually early. Which for me is a blessing because you never know, I'll probably make up the time in the next Wednesday. So we take from this the question as we go home. Examine our hearts. And look to the Lord to see what he would have us do or not do. Again, for the sake of his glory, to be part of his plan, and to partake in his awesome goodness, not only for us, but to see the transformation of people who do not yet know the Lord. So let's pray.